Thank you, John, for inviting me to come here. I'm kind of hoarse. But it's always exciting to see what God does, especially bringing revival into the body of Christ. The problem is that so many churches are dead. And I think that the Lord is not only speaking, but we're living in such an exciting time for the body of Christ. And that's why the body of Christ has to stay in a place of holiness. Amen. Holiness. It said, John Bunyan said, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. And it is so true. That if we don't stay humble and look at the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did when he came to die for the sins of the world, especially in these days that we're living in, technology is so awesome, but at the same time, it's so dangerous. Little kids with phones, pornography, teenagers. And it breaks my heart because I love the young. And I know that God has a purpose for these young people, especially if you're here tonight. And mom and dad, you have a responsibility to teach your children, to teach them until they leave the home. And when they leave the home, they're leaving with the word of God. So if they ever go to the left or right, like my son Ryan, they always come back home because of the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Why don't you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. Title of my message, Where is the Promise of His Coming? You know, it's amazing how many problems the world is facing today. Many, many problems. Not only America, the world. We know for sure that Jesus is going to come. We don't know what time he's coming, what day. But all the signs that he spoke about in Matthew 24, 25, Mark 13, Luke 21, and John 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, believe also that I go to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to come back again. And we know that he's coming back again. And yet, notice what he says. It's important because when we stand before the Lord, whoever thought that they would come, even in our own generation, that so many people not only would be looking for the Lord, but so many people departing from the Lord. People departing from the Lord. This is a great church. I love it. A lot of life. I've gone across the country visiting churches. A lot of churches are dead. Spiritually dead. And one of the things that we need to realize is that the church not only needs to pray. Bernice brings revival. Amen. And I think it's kind of neat when you look at the world today, you look and you see Iran, North Korea, Pakistan, India, and how they're all, even they're boasting about nuclear weapons. Could it be possible that one day America could get hit with a rocket or a missile? I mean, we already are allowing, and nothing to do with Muslims, we are allowing the Muslim religion to come here. Every foreigner, and I'm not down on foreigners, I'm a foreigner too, I came from Mexico City. My mom was born in New York City, in Long Island. And it's incredible because you see how the world is changing, and yet the Muslims have one goal, and that's to turn the world, like Paul said, right side up. Or upside down. They're building every Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs, right down over the freeway. They just built this one huge place. One huge place. Where I live in Laverne, down there in Pomona, there's another Muslim temple. And one day I was going by there, and it used to be a bowling alley. They have a school there. And across the street, they have their place of worship. And as I came to this corner, I saw these jihad flags. And I'm a chaplain for the sheriffs. I said, wow, this is not right. So I jumped over the wall. I took pictures. Okay. Then I called the Pomona police. I said, you guys need to get down here. These guys have the jihad flags on top. They came down, and they couldn't do nothing about it. Nothing. This is America. And then what happened a year later, I didn't know this, that the FBI was watching this place. They found three terrorists. And imagine how in the whole United States of America, in Detroit, over 1 million living there. And I don't know if you, a couple of years ago, they showed on the internet, you know, when these American kids went over, they had a big festival. And they would not let them in, and they got violent against Americans. Against Americans. And I think the church is supposed to be salt and light.
Amen.
Salt and light. And what happens when the church begins to, you know, to lose that salt and that light, and we start becoming even as the darkness? You know, many times we witness to people, and it's cool to witness to people, but it's better to live the life in front of them. Because many times when we witness, and I witness to people, you know what the world's saying? Listen, if they cannot get transformed, then why should I be a Christian? I mean, Jesus in John chapter 3, to Nicodemus, there was a Pharisee, came to him by night and said, Lord, what must I do? And Jesus said, you must be born again of the Holy Spirit. When I came to Christ, I came to Christ. I do not love my old life. I hate it. And I thank God that he's buried it. And then when I look at the world today with the Muslim race not only growing, what's going to happen to our children and our grandchildren if the Lord tarries? Could there be a big civil war because of what's happening in the world, especially in America? Yet the Word of God not only speaks about these times that we're living in, think of the hate that the Muslim has in the world for Israel. I've been going to Israel since I got saved. I've been there 34 times. And because I love the Jews. I pray for the Arabs. And I pray for every denomination and every person that is not a believer. And the reason I do that, because we only have one life to live, and it'll soon be passed, and the only thing that will last is what you do for Christ.
Amen.
For Christ, period. It's real important. And if you're a non-believer here tonight, relax. You know why? Because you don't have to accept Christ. You can go to hell if you want to go to hell. You make the choice. You make the choice. And you know what's amazing? It's in John 3:16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Holy Spirit has been left here so that church, if your church lives the Christian life and the Holy Spirit, that's his perfect work. And that's what brings in conviction to the world. But honestly, I feel that if God is going to really work, he's working here, awesome. But if the Lord's going to work in every church in the United States of America, the church needs to repent. To repent. And the reason I say that is because not only in the church that I pastor, you know, I've gone to restaurants, I pastor them myself, and we've gone for lunch or dinner. And then you see we're after Sunday services and you go to these restaurants and people are drinking. And they see me coming, they don't know what to do with their drinks. And I walk up, hey, I'm not the Holy Spirit. Hey, cheers on you, you know? And it's really amazing how the Holy Spirit works. And then people come into church and they raise their hands unto the Lord, where Isaiah said, your hands are full of blood. Sinful hands. The only way to have holy hands is to repent and submit to the Lordship of Christ.
Amen.
That's the only way it is. So it's really important that we understand that. Let me read the text of 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. He says, beloved, speaking to the church, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles, and the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God,
The heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water, in the water, by which the world that then existed perished. Being flooded with water. Can you imagine at the time of the flood? When Jonah was preaching, and if you read Genesis chapter 6, it says that people were just very loose, having sex, homosexuality, lust, everything you could imagine. And they were Nephthalins, he says. These half, you know, these angels, demons, that cohabitated with the women. Half human and half demon. And when God saw that, think about this, when the flood came, it took everyone to hell only for 8 people. Noah, his wife, 3 sons, and their wives. And God built an ark. And in that ark, he asked them to come in. When they came in, the ark, notice standing there, 522 rail carts, how big it was. And they went through the door. And what does the Bible say? When they went through the door, the Lord shut the door. Why? Because he says, I am the door. Remember that in John? Once the door was closed, not only the grace of God was done. 120 years, the prophet said, Jesus said, 120 years and the end will come. I wonder what Jesus is saying tonight when he sees so much garbage, so much trash in the world today. And not just in the world, but in the church. It just breaks my heart. Because look what else he says. Verse 6, again. By which the world then exists and perish, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, and reserved for thee, notice, for until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You know what blew me away? Verse 9, check this out. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The heart of God. The heart of God. He's not willing that anybody would go to hell. To me, that's incredible, and it's amazing the love that God has for us. And yet, the world hates God, but they love Satan. Incredible. That they're ruled by Satan, their lies. And then at the same time, think about this. Every one of the letters that Paul wrote, that James wrote, Peter wrote, and then Jude wrote, every epistle is written to who? To the Christian. To the Christian. Why? Think about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or 5 and 6, and then Galatians 5, Ephesians 5. And as you move through the New Testament, he's speaking to Christians. He says, such were you. But if you continue, what happens? You will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he gives a list of sins. Sins that people today are committing. And then they come to church. And they partake of communion. When communion is sacred. Fellowship with God. That's why we really have to be careful who we do worship. We need to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because when you think of what Christ Jesus has done, he came from all eternity. Imagine this, all eternity. And the Father sent him to this earth, the only place where there's life. So they're wasting their money going into the universe. This is the only place. And what's amazing, when he came here, born of a virgin, he gets to go and live in Nazareth. At the age of 12, he's in the temple. He's talking to the teachers. Joseph and Mary come back to get him because they lost him. And then he says, I'm doing my father's business. And then he grows up, and at the age of 30, he makes his appearance. He comes into the world to proclaim teaching, preaching, and healing. In the first message, John the Baptist, Jesus, Peter, and Paul, repent. Repent. Repent means to change your mind, your heart, your life. You're going one way, you're making a 180-degree turn, and now you go to the cross of Jesus Christ. To the cross. The cross. Remember in Matthew chapter 16, Verse 24, he says, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. Die to yourself. The cross is the instrument of death. The instrument of death. And if the church would take the cross of Jesus Christ literally, that Christ is not there, but Christ left empty the cross so he to remind us that when we went to the cross, he died. And then Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, reckoning the old man to be dead to the church. Sin should never rule over our lives, ever. Yes, we sin, we miss the mark. But when we transgress, it's different. Because God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the will. He did not make us puppets on a string. He gave us the power of choice. The power to choose hell or heaven. To choose love or hate. To choose the light or to choose the darkness. And he'll never ever force you. And when you stand before him, if you're not standing in heaven, you cannot point your finger to him. Because it says this in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, 11 through 15. That the white throne judgment, he says, I saw the throne, remember that? That the white throne judgment, as the books were open, every person that stood there, once hell was emptied, and in the lake of fire, hell, notice, demons, Satan, Antichrist, and false prophet, and then those that were not written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire forever. Read Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus. There's so many illustrations, so many true stories that the church would fear God in order to know, I'm going to die one day. There's an appointed time for men to die, and then judgment comes. And yet, when you think about it, when you go to bed every night, do you ever go to bed and think, man, I have to keep breathing through that. I got to concentrate to breathe. We don't. How do you know you're going to wake up when God holds your breath in his hand? How do you go to bed after you've done what you've done that whole day? What do you do? I had one professor when I was in college. It was interesting. One day we were in class, and he said, I'll tell you what you do. You guys get 7 pieces of paper, and you take it home, and I want you for 7 days to write down what time you get up in the morning and what time you go to bed. And write down every half hour to an hour what you're doing. At the end of 7 days, you will know who your God is. You will know. You will know who your God is. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must spirit what? Must worship him in spirit and in truth. In reality, God has to be real in my life. And when God is real in my life, the conviction of the Holy Spirit brings me to my knees. Because how can I spit in the face of God? How can I mock him when he's done so much for my life? So much in my life, so much in your lives. Remember when in Acts chapter 1, 9, where it says there, he says, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched him, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by in white dress, who also said, men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up to heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from north from you to heaven, so cometh like in manner as you saw him go up to heaven. He's going to come. He's going to come. Very important, you guys. And then when he comes, what will he find us doing in 7 days? Just 7 days, not 365 days. 7 days. When you look at the Bible, the new birth is mentioned 9 times. Baptism is mentioned 20 times. Repentance is mentioned 70 times. The second coming of Christ is mentioned more than 300 times in the New Testament. I mean, think about all the things that are going on 1,527 times in the Old Testament and 390 times in the New Testament. That is that Jesus is going to actually return, and he's going to announce such a considerate number of passages to let each one of us know what I did and what I said I meant.
Amen.
I'm going to come. I'm going to come. And yet again, when you look at the church, it breaks my heart. Because two of the brothers of Jesus wrote two epistles, James and Jude. When they were kids, they didn't believe in Jesus, but they came to know Jesus Christ. And think of the two thieves on the cross. One cursed them, and one asked for what? Forgiveness. It's so cool. He didn't say, okay, son, you want to get to heaven? Go get baptized. I mean, think about it. Some churches teach in order to get to heaven or salvation, you got to get baptized. And the symbol of baptism is the grave. I go into the water, and they take me in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they take me down into the grave. And when I come up out of the water, guess what? In newness of life, resurrection. Water doesn't save you. It's a testimony of life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So for me, it's been quite a trip, being 40 years in the Lord now, and watching how God not only touched my life, continues to touch my life, and notice, I want to, and I hope I finish well. How about you? How did you start? How will you conclude your race in Jesus Christ? In Jude chapter 1, 18, he says, and now he says, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last days who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I love that. Unto eternal life. Do you have eternal life? If you're visiting with us tonight, do you have eternal life?
Amen.
And it's important because a lot of the things that are going on in the church today, that not only we need to understand, have I truly been born again, or do I need to repent and renew my life in Jesus Christ? He could come tonight, or you could stop breathing tonight and not wake up tomorrow. And you know what's so cool? I love this. The non-believers are never, ever forced, even those that are here tonight, to come to Christ. You choose, like I told you before. And when you walk out of here, I'm going to warn you, when you walk out of here, you will never be the same. Because the Holy Spirit is going to hunt you to death. So cool. So cool. Before I got saved, you know, I had come back from Vietnam. I got married 4.5 years. My wife went to hell. She never preached to me. She never put, you know, little promises on my sandwiches or soup, whatever. And, you know, I mistreated her. I beat her. I did everything else. And then when I came to Christ that one night, when Jesus Christ touched me, I knew that it was the Lord. I didn't see lightning or angels or anything like that, because I had my gun and I was going to kill Chuck Smith. He was on TV. And what was so cool, the word of God from television, as Chuck was smiling and preaching the word, his word, which was God's word, was into my heart. And when I got on my knees, I meant it, because in the world, I meant what I did. But you know what? Going backwards, just the life that my wife was living convicted me. Convicted me, because I knew that Jesus gave me the opportunity, just like he wants to do here tonight. And the reason for that is because he has so much love for each one of us individually, that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Remember that scripture, that we should come to repentance. And the reason is because he came to die for the sins of the world. The sins of the world. And I think that tonight, as we're standing here as a church, as the called out ones of God, I pray that when you leave here tonight, you would never be the same. Never the same. That the Holy Spirit will come upon you as we were worshiping before the Lord. And that as we worship the Lord, I saw you raising your hands. And you can't really raise your hands, you know why? Because it's a sign of surrender. Have you surrendered? Surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. To know that the devil hates you. And that we have the power through the Holy Spirit, knowing that Jesus is coming again, that I don't have to scream. I can say, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. And you know what? He cannot touch me only by permission. By permission, like Job. And whatever you're facing tonight, because most people, when they're going through pretty heavy things, they take their fists and they curse out God. And God says, I love you. I love you. That's God's love. Totally God's love. And what's really cool about that is that when God wants to use your life, as you submit, then you've got to count the cost. If you love your family more than you love him, or husbands love their wives or husbands, children, you're not there. He has to be number one. Amen. Number one. And your family will come second. And when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, when you fall in love with him, everything will be number one for him. Why? Because we bring glory and honor to his holy name. Think of his holy name. It just breaks my heart that the body of Christ, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only has come against Jesus, but it continues to love you, to love each one of us individually, so that we can come to that place in our lives and know, I know that Christ touched my life, and I'm so thankful to him, because I would be in hell today. Because when I came home, I was going to kill my wife and my kids and have the police kill me. I've been to Vietnam. I don't really care. And maybe some of you that are here tonight, non-believers, you don't understand the love of God. The love of God comes through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus wraps his arms around you and he says, no matter what you've done, I will forgive you. Because I love you. That's what he says. That's what he says. And so in the coming of the Lord, we know that the Antichrist will come, but the real church doesn't worry about that. Because the Bible gave us a promise. It's called the rapture of the church. And the rapture of the church, with a lot of people don't believe in it. When he comes, he's coming for the true church. The true church. And those that are left behind after the true church is gone, they are going to blow their minds, because the moment the church is taken to heaven, the Antichrist makes his appearance. Paul told us in 2 Thessalonians. And when he makes his appearance, imagine your mom or dead brother, sister, friend. You've been talking about the last days. You've been talking about the New Testament. And all of a sudden, they hear on TV or through satellite in your computer, many, many people have perished. And you go, wow, my dad, my mom, or whoever it is, they're gone. And I'm left behind. And the only way out, you have to be beheaded. Who beheads people? The Muslims. Interesting. The Muslim behead people. And to me, it's been exciting to read the Word of God and to see how the Holy Spirit not only is leading. And I'm not saying that he's going to be a Muslim. I don't know what he's going to be. But he's going to behead people. And the only way to get to heaven, it's either to live through the whole 7 years without getting the mark of the beast on your forehead or right hand, because once you get it, hey, live like hell. Doesn't really matter. You're done. But if you're not going to take the mark of the beast, your head's coming off, and you'll be in the presence of God. Because you didn't bow your knee to Satan. And if you go through the whole period of 7 years, at the end, because you didn't take the mark of the beast, you'll go into the kingdom age. Man, it's so amazing when you read prophecy. The way God moves about in everything that he says and does. Listen to Luke 21, 34 through 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life, and that they come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. And check this out, watch. Be on the alert, he says, therefore. And pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of God, the Son of Man. He's warning that Jesus is going to come. Are you ready tonight for Jesus to come? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Don't be the church of Laodicea. That church is coming up. It's a church where he says, if you're lukewarm, he says, if you're cold, okay, but if you're hot, remember, cool, but if you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out. I'll vomit you out of my mouth. That's a pretty heavy thing, for Jesus to vomit you out of his mouth. It's a church of apostasy. The church that didn't really believe in Jesus Christ. The church that played church like the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, the religious leaders, that when they would preach, they would not practice what they preached. And Jesus gave 8 woes to them in Matthew chapter 23. Woe unto you, Pharisees. And I would say, woe unto you, Christians, who are hypocrites. They would not live the life of righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ and the life of holiness. It's going to cost you to live holy before God. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, man, we can do it through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know why? Because he is the only one that can do that in our lives.
Amen.
And the reason is because he loves you. Loves you so much. I'm going to ask you something right now. I'm ending short, but that's cool. I'm going to ask you, if you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, number one, don't close your eyes. That's for sissies, okay? Don't close your eyes. You got to come in boldness, okay? So what happens this? If you want to come to Christ, he calls you publicly, publicly. If you want to receive Christ, you want eternal life, you want forgiveness in the blood of Christ to wash all your sins, awesome. Get up right now and come up here to the front. Just get up and come. Right now. Okay? Just get up. Awesome. Just get up. Whoever you are. Awesome. Awesome. That's good. Awesome. Awesome, you guys. Anybody else, just come. Young, old, I don't care who you are. Awesome. That is awesome. We're going to worship and just keep coming, okay?